Our passage today is taken from Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. May God bless us in the reading of His word. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for a mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over all the face of the earth. And this is the word of our God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to have Reverend Chua speak to us from the passage we have just read. His sermon today is titled, "Castle in the Air." Reverend Chua, please.
Good afternoon. I think all of us are aware that Grace Church is quite diverse in terms of language, at least. We have worship services in Cantonese, Mandarin, and English, where we are exposed to different worship styles and songs of praise. You could invite friends or family members who may be speaking different languages to join us in seeking God, although at times it might be a bit complex when it comes to combined events. Wouldn't it be convenient if we could communicate with each other using the same language? Sometimes we feel. Then there would not be any need for different language classes, nor will there be any need for interpretation or translation. Well, there was a time, as we have just read, when things were less complicated. The Bible tells us that the entire human race used to have one language and a common speech. That is based on the account of the Tower of Babel. Does anybody know where the Tower of Babel was situated? Any idea? Can you find it in the text today? Were you paying attention when the passage was read? In verse 2 it was mentioned, right? In verse 2 it was mentioned, the place of settlement, Shinar, in the Mesopotamia, was subsequently known as Babylon. In the Old Testament, we read that quite a lot. And today, it is called Iraq. So it's actually a place on the map that we could find. We are all quite familiar with the Tower of Babel account, but the focus of the passage is really not the tower itself. And today, we're going to grapple with the underlying issue, and hopefully we could learn some spiritual lessons from them. The Bible tells us that after the sin of Adam and Eve, and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, the people became increasingly sinful and eventually provoked God's anger. And He decided to destroy all sinful creatures by sending the great flood. After the flood, there was a new beginning for mankind, and God promised not to destroy the earth in a flood again. And today, as we admire the enchanting rainbow, we are reminded of God's faithfulness. And with this new beginning, God also renewed his blessing and mandate for humankind, to whom he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." That was God's blessing. That was God's mandate as well. And verse 1 tells us that up till then, the whole world had one language and a common speech. And they were wandering around until they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So instead of obeying God's command to fill the earth, they decided to stay put in Shinar. Unlike modern building methods today, we all know that buildings today are of concrete and steel reinforcement. The usual means of construction in those days was rock or stone. Any one of you remember flint stones? Some of us do. That gives you the impression, right? Apparently, there was no rock in that region at that time. So instead, there was a lot of clay available. The situation did not discourage them, even though there were no rocks. Instead, they overcame the difficulty with their creative minds. For the first time in history, bricks were produced and tar was used. It was a very big step in construction technology, if you were to look at it from that point of view. And they were so pleased with themselves that they decided to build a city with a tower to immortalize their name and to preserve their unity. The purpose of the project was to build a great monument that would keep the people from dispersing. Right? But of all things, why a tower that reaches the heaven? Why not a theme park? Disneyland, what have you. Why a tower that reaches the heaven? Now, bear in mind that heaven is where the throne of God is, right? Were they trying to draw closer to God by building a tower that reaches to the sky? On the surface, that seems to be the case. But the passage tells us that that was definitely not their intention, nor their attitude. To build a tower to reach the heaven reflects their effort to become like God, thinking that by such great achievements, they could somehow be at the same level as God and be independent of God. They were hoping that with this gigantic tower as a point of reference, it would be a point of attraction and that would also prevent people from scattering. In recent years, Myanmar has made headlines, disaster after disaster, the ongoing civil war and the latest mega earthquake. The situation now is a far cry from its heydays. Those of us who knew Myanmar then, one of the main characteristics of Myanmar is their enormous golden pagodas. The pagodas were so huge that you could see them from far away. Besides being a great attraction, it is often used as a point of reference, a landmark. And sure enough, this towering structure earned Myanmar the name the Golden Land. A very impressive name, but nowadays nobody remembers. Similarly, in this passage, the people wanted to preserve a name for themselves, to elevate themselves even to the same level as God. They wanted to overcome their sense of insecurity and the fear of being dispersed. When faced with fears, we try to establish our identity to overcome uncertainties. Because of our pride, we often seek self-glory to give ourselves confidence. For the same reason, some people would join clubs for the elites, to become member of some street gangs, just to have that sense of belonging, to have an identity. When facing the unknown, we look to human beings for acceptance and identification. Instead of trusting God, we strive to create a name for ourselves to overcome our sense of insecurity. We like to use symbols of our accomplishment, our success, to boost our ego and our self-confidence. It may be reflected in the way we dress, the shoes we wear, the bags we carry, the places we go to, and the people we hang out with. We want to be our own master. We want to be proud of our own achievements. Years ago, BBC did a survey on the most popular song of the 20th century. I don't know whether anybody remembered. Quite a few famous world leaders, for example, Malaysian ex-premier, Dr. Mahathir, and the ex-president of Indonesia, Megawati. They shared a common favorite. They chose Frank Sinatra's signature song, My Way. And the last line says, I did it my way. And interestingly, Trump and the First Lady, Melania, chose the same song for their first dance on his inauguration day for his first term as president. Any of you know this song? Some of us not. We are of the same era. Now, recently, there's also a Chinese animated blockbuster. It's in the news. I do not know whether some of you might have watched it. It's called Ne Zha, the second account of Ne Zha. In this movie, there is an iconic line that many people identify with. In English, it's translated, I am the master of my own destiny. 我命由我不由天. My life is not dependent on God. It's dependent on me. This quote seems to invoke in those who face challenging life situations not to give up fighting for change. Right? It may seem quite positive. It may seem quite inspiring. But subtly, it conceals a humanistic attitude of self-determination, even to the exclusion of God in our lives. We are more concerned about our own kingdom. We do not want God to be involved rather than thinking about God's kingdom. And similarly, in the passage that we read today, to settle in the plain of Shinar was obviously against God's plan and instruction to fill the earth. By the way, to fill the earth, this command is in line with God's intention for humankind to manage and take care of the world. Right? How could you take care of the created world if you are only located in one location? You can't. They were disobedient to God's command and rejected the purpose of God's blessing. And today, we have to ask ourselves, are we more concerned about our own ambition, our future? In other words, our own kingdom. We are so engrossed with our own business, kingdom, that we lose sight of God's kingdom and His purpose. Human sinfulness was expressed in its insecurity, vanity, and self-centeredness. And this is reflected by our disobedience to God. And here in this passage, the people's disobedience to be scattered throughout the world and populate the world. The builders wanted the tower to reach the heaven. It was indeed a meager project for them. It was meant to be so huge that everyone was supposed to see it wherever they might be. And since it was supposed to reach the heaven into the presence of God, God ought to be able to see it from His throne. Right? Isn't that so? It's supposed to reach the heaven. And yet we are told that God had to come down to see it. This is a very dramatic way of contrasting the insignificance of human greatest achievement with God's almighty power. We think we are so great, but actually we are nothing. And at the same time, it also shows us God's interest and participation in human affairs. God is concerned about us, so concerned that He's willing to come down personally. The people crossed the line by defying God's command to fill the earth. To settle in Shinar and building the tower, they were challenging God. They were challenging His authority. And if this human scheme were to succeed, it would lead to even worse evil intentions. And hence God stopped them, not only as a form of judgment, but also as an act of mercy to prevent them from getting from bad to worse. Now, if God were to just destroy the project, some of us may be thinking, why not just destroy the project? Since the project is such an affront to God. But if God were to do that, they could simply have rebuilt it. It was the common language which made the project possible that needed to be removed. Without common communication, towers could not be built. And without the same language, communities could not live together. Humans attempt to determine their own destiny and gain security without God was futile. It was useless. If you think that you can find your own security with your own effort, think again. Their greatest fear came upon them. The place of unity became the place of dispersion. What remained of the tower project became a monument of man's shame and God's sovereignty. It is clear that God frustrates and judges the rebellious and proud, while sovereignly accomplishes His good purpose. Now, this is a reminder that God's grace should not be abused. So often today, many people are focusing on their own desires and neglecting the holiness of God. There is a wrong impression that God is indifferent to sinfulness. The popular but wrong idea is that despite all evil behaviors and indifference to God, He will always respond with more grace and more goodness. You just have to confess and you are forgiven. A lot of people think it very lightly, but not so. As shown in the great flood, as well as in this passage today, God reveals Himself as a God of judgment. God's grace and His judgment are like two sides of the same coin. Yes, He's gracious, But don't forget, he is also the judge. However, what we see in our passage today, the reverse is also true of those who would obey him and seek his kingdom and his purpose. We mentioned that the great flood, that after the great flood, God's intention was for mankind to fill the earth. But now, if you were to look at the world now, the world is already populated by people. So you may say that this particular command or mandate is fulfilled. Now, bear it in mind, what does God require of us today as Christian? God has already scattered people all over the face of the earth. What is his purpose for Christians today? Just as God gave and fulfilled the mandate for mankind to fill the earth, Jesus gave us the great commission to fill the earth with the gospel, making disciples of all nations. And we're all familiar with the great commission that goes, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now in the book of Acts, during the Pentecost, we see the reversal of the Tower of Babel account. According to that passage, people from different nations were able to hear the Apostle Peter preaching in their own respective languages without interpretation. Isn't that amazing? How we wish our combined worship services are like that. The speaker just speak what language everybody hears in their respective languages. We see that God blessing those who would obey him. Those who are willing to seek his purpose and his will, God blesses. Now, like the people in Babel who invented the new technology of brick construction, we too have been blessed with great intelligence and talents. Some of us here may be in the process of looking for employment. Imagine that you are trying to prepare your job application. What do you include in your application? Your grades, your professional experience, your linguistic abilities, your creativity, your leadership qualities. We make sure that we highlight our talents, abilities, and qualifications in order to get the place that we desire. But are we just as eager to use our abilities in Christian ministries? Do we go to the extent to try to serve using all our abilities, all our experiences? Are we pursuing our ambition and career instead of seeking God's plan for our lives? Are we more concerned about our own kingdom than God's kingdom? Actually, today's passage, this story, we are all very familiar. And many of us may even laugh at how silly it is to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. I think, to be very honest, some of us in our hearts, we laugh at them. How foolish, right? But aren't we just as guilty if we disobey Jesus' command to fill the earth with the gospel and to make disciples of all nations? It's the same principle. In the Old Testament, God commissioned the people to fill the earth. Jesus, in the New Testament, also commissioned us with the Great Commission to fill the earth with the gospel. based on UN information, 80% of the world's population today are non-Christian. 80%. After 2,000 years. The church has existed for 2,000 years. The Great Commission has been given to us for 2,000 years. There are still 80% of the world population non-Christian. Take a moment to consider yourself. In what way can you be involved in bringing the gospel to those who have no personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are more than 7,000 languages in the world, and more than 2,000 languages are in need of Bible translation today. How could they know Jesus if they don't have the Bible in their own language? Even with the Bible translated, it does not automatically mean that they can understand the teachings in the Bible. There are still approximately 7,000 unreached people's group who have not heard of Jesus. They don't have any Christian friends or neighbors around them, unlike Singaporeans, just a few doors from your home, you find a Christian. Just a few persons down the road, you find a Christian. But no, not for these people. They need Christians among them to share and demonstrate God's love to them. If we disobey God's will to share the good news to the world, billions of people will be lost for eternity. So instead of our own personal success and security, let us shift our attention to God's kingdom. And in so doing, we will also realize and fulfill God's plan for our lives. You'd be surprised. So often we bark up the wrong tree. We are seeking God's purpose for our lives, but it is embedded in God's purpose for the world. We seek our own kingdom, but actually, we are part of God's kingdom. But how do we go about it? How do we do something that would advance God's kingdom? Of course, you could join short-term mission trips that we organize every year. There are always opportunities for us to be part of it. If you're open to working overseas, why not consider serving God with your profession? Perhaps you might have some point in your life dedicated your life to God. You might have promised God that you would serve Him and do His will. Do not forget your promise. God has very good memory. He will remember what you have promised Him. And He will guide you along if you are willing. Of course, some of us are unable to go to faraway places to share the gospel because of our life situation or because of our health condition. But even then, you can still be involved right where you are in other ways, like reaching out to people in your neighborhood or in your workplace or even your family, your relatives. The mission field is right at our doorstep. After all, Singapore is a multicultural society of different races and cultures. People from all over the world are coming to Singapore. Alternatively, you could give money to support missionaries or mission projects, or write to missionaries to encourage them. You can also start by praying for missionaries and for different countries. Pray that people may have a chance to hear the gospel and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Be reminded, seeking our own comfort and personal interest in order to find security It's like building a castle in the air. At the end, you will not find it. You'll be disappointed. And of course, if we were to be just pursuing our own interests, in the end, we will have to answer to God. But if we seek God's kingdom and His plan, it will certainly be fulfilled. And our life purpose would also be realized in so doing. As we seek to fulfill God's purpose, our own life purpose will be fulfilled. Pride and rebellion incurs God's judgment, whereas doing God's will leads to blessings. Some years back, I sent a Christmas card to a friend overseas. Soon after, he replied me, thanking me for the card that I sent him. Because he was a foreigner, so I sent him a card of Singapore. It was a card that featured the skyline of Shenton Way. It was quite impressive, actually. The silhouette of the skyscrapers against the sky. Perhaps we should ask ourselves, are we building skyscrapers of our lives? Is that what we are doing? Are we trying to outshine each other and accomplish or establish a name for ourselves to overcome our insecurity? We are afraid. We are not certain of our future. We need to build our own kingdom, so to speak. Years ago, I was appointed as the chairman of the missions committee. That was many years ago. After I was appointed, a leader came to me and said, "Wow, so now you have your own kingdom." I was shocked. I was really shocked. There are Christians who think of ministries as their Tower of Babel. Actually, excelling in your work or even serving wholeheartedly, on the surface, it seems like an excellent testimony. A godly Christian blessed by God, or a successful businessman blessed by God, or someone who is very actively serving in church. Similarly, the building of the Tower of Babel on the surface initially gave the impression that they might be trying to reach God. They may be trying to draw nearer to God. But when we examine deeper, that is not at all the intention, nor the attitude. Instead of building towering skyscrapers, let us construct bridges that would lead people from various backgrounds and different parts of the world to the Lord Jesus. Our identity is established in Christ, not our accomplishment. Not because you are a doctor so-and-so or because you're a professor so-and-so. No. Not because you own a skyscraper in Shenton Way. No. We are God's children. We are Christ's ambassadors. We don't have to be well known in the eyes of the world. Our security, our future lie with God. And we find it as we seek to do His will. Let's pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is eternal. Thank you for reminding us that who we are is dependent on our relationship with you, and not so much our efforts and our accomplishment. Forgive us if we are always trying to overcome our insecurities with our own effort, thinking that by creating a name for ourselves, by having people around us with the acceptance of others, we will overcome our insecurities. So often we seek self-glory to boost our own ego instead of glorifying you. Help us, O Lord, to have the right perspective and to realize that our purpose in life is found in fulfilling your purpose. May you continue to work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.